This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من بين خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح لهذه الأمة صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every single one of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. Today I wanted to discuss with you part of what many Muslims are celebrating around the world is the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And people have different ways of doing that. And my intention is not to critique or to talk about how people celebrate the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather is to shed some light on the true way, or the best way of celebrating the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam want us to celebrate his legacy? What is it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted or expected or was hoping for or praying for, that those who truly love him and those who come after him would do? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell the companions to do with regards to his tradition and his message and what he left behind? Now, many of us are familiar with some of the primary instructions given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, what I wanted to talk about as an introduction to this is to talk about the legacy itself. What highlights the tradition and the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are the primary objectives? What are the primary features of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did Allah send him? The first and the most important, if I was just to list 10, what are the 10 top primary objectives or elements of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The number one and most important is whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared. Worshipping none except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most critical of all is this objective. And the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that was because there wasn't really a true representation of Tawheed left, with the exception of very few people here and there, scattered all over the place. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal looked at the status or the state of affairs of humanity at that time. مَقَتَهُمْ عَرَبَهُمْ وَعَجَمَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath. Allah wasn't approving of the way they were seeking Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way they were worshipping Him, with the exception of few here and there from the people of the book. Very few. Insignificant number. Tawheed wasn't prevalent. It was not widespread. As a matter of fact, it was it was shirk. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes with tawheed. So one of the primary objectives of his mission is to restore tawheed, monotheism. And as I mentioned, each one of them, I don't want to go through the list of those 10 things and then each one, and then come back to them. As we go through them, we have to ask ourselves, how much understanding do I have of this particular part of his mission, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How is it manifesting itself in my own life and my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fellow human beings? How much of it am I assuming as my own personal responsibility to maintain in my own life, in the life of my children and those who are around me? Because we are supposed to be the ambassadors, the heirs, the followers, the lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there isn't any other way to really show that love other than to assume responsibility of being the ones that are supposed to carry this. First and foremost, we have to practice. We have to be an embodiment. Each and every single one of us has to embody each and every single one of these points. If you're sold on it, if you believe that this is part of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you disagree with any of these points that I'm presenting today, feel free to come and discuss it or you know, challenge it or correct me. I'm open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he revealed to him, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only, unlike any of his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tawheed is very important. It's not a secondary issue. It's not something marginal. It's primary. As a matter of fact, it is the very reason Quraysh opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rejected his message. So we have to be people who are committed to this belief in tawheed. We have to be. And we have to make sure that our families and those whom we have any influence over live in accordance to this. They believe in none except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the various elements of tawheed, this is not the appropriate time to talk about. The point here is not to talk about each and every single one of them. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to mankind. His message is global. As a matter of fact, in the discussion that we were having multiple times this week with some of our prominent community members here, this came up. The only one, the only message, the only hope humanity has, the only prophet that came and said, I was sent to mankind, to everyone. His message was global. His message was universal, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came as a guide to mankind, everyone. Who's supposed to assume that responsibility? The Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim did their part. They could have stayed in Mecca and Medina. They could have just had Arabia all to themselves and lived very well. They could have said, well, enough with Sham and Iraq. And that's it. We have enough. It wasn't about expanding their territory. Because if you look at Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, the way they lived. As a matter of fact, the more power they had, the more humble they became. And the less interested they were in this material world. So it wasn't about expanding their territory and their resources and wealth and power. It was not about that. It was about delivering this message to as many people as possible because they assumed that responsibility. The Prophet told them, he entrusted them with this. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Even if it's one verse, you have to convey this message and spread it. Why? Because it's universal. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not here to do that himself. He entrusted us with it. So carrying this message to mankind, delivering guidance, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to mankind, is a collective responsibility upon all of us. You either have to do da'wah or support da'wah. And the worst thing that you can do is become an obstacle in the way of da'wah or a hindrance or someone that actually compromises the da'wah of other people. You don't want to do that. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to spread justice. And we, unfortunately, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah azza wa jalla sent to mankind, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. We're supposed to be the witnesses. We resigned that to them. So no, you be the witnesses. You be the superpowers. You be the leaders. You be the ones that establish standards for justice, for what is just, what is fair. You be the leaders of equality and social justice. We will just sit here and we will try to follow your example in whatever you do. And whatever you tell us is appropriate, we will follow. Whatever you tell us is correct, we will assume and we will commit to. As a matter of fact, some of us may take even pride in being so committed to the standards set by people who do not have the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're so committed, we're civilized, we're like you. We adhere to your standards, to your definition of justice and fairness and equality. It's a problem, and the world is suffering. That is part and parcel of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's the responsibility of his ummah. Not only to set the standards, but to call people to these standards and to enforce these standards. But no, we don't want to. And then when we suffer from the absence of this, we complain. And before I go to the fourth point, ya jama'ah, my dear brothers and sisters, these three things were well understood to be part of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's community and ummah. And they were so understood and so committed to and known even to the youngest member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's community. So much so that when they found themselves speaking on behalf of Muslim or on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were able to easily articulate that beautifully and powerfully. And we find that in the statement of Rabi' ibn Amr. I think I remember not too long ago, maybe I think it was 2 years ago or during COVID, Sheikh Anwar was sharing it. Rabi' ibn Amr was a teenager. A lot of people think that he wasn't a commander, he was not high-level politician. He was a young man, he was a teenager. And when the Persian leader asked him, "What brings you out?" this teenager was able to beautifully, precisely, in a very concise statement, he was able to articulate it. نحن قوم, we are a people. ابتعثنا الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summoned us. This is a calling through his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة الله وحده. To pull humanity, to show humanity, give them access to worshiping Allah alone, and instead of worshiping fellow human beings, instead of being exploited and taken advantage of and being really oppressed by fellow human beings, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's freedom. If they choose to worship, obviously you cannot impose that. We're giving them access to it. وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and from the injustices and from the oppression of other ways of life to the justice of Islam. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا, and from the restrictions and the narrowness and the exhaust, the miserable. Dunya, jama'ah, for those who really understand its nature, dunya is not there to give you itself. Dunya is there to enslave you and at the end get rid of you. That's dunya. So they said, we're here to teach people there is something more vast, greater, bigger. Something that if you were to master, you will be able to conquer dunya. You will be able to enjoy dunya. It will take your life to a different level. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. We didn't reveal the Quran to you to suffer or to be miserable. No, we'll teach you true happiness. So we're here to teach people the where happiness lies, where success is, and how to achieve it. So the pursuit of happiness, we're here to ensure that. Teach people true happiness. This is what Rabi' ibn Amr stated, pretty much. This is my understanding of how. So he knew that. And that's our mission. That's what we're here for. Number four, my dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ came and he introduced a system of morality And a spiritual purity unlike anything. Something that is balanced, something that has divine origin, something that is very pragmatic and practical, something that is realistic, something that is rewarding. And if you take some of these elements out of any moral system, it will not make sense. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought this very comprehensive moral system and he introduced it to people. Something that pertains to both the means and the goals, the ends. The ends have to be moral and have to be ethical, so do the means. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his companions and those who will come after them to hold themselves to the highest standards, to the highest ethical and moral standards. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to be the manifestation of that. Morality and akhlaq, we have to be teaching people that. We cannot be in violation of our own code of conduct. Otherwise, we're going to push people away from Allah and from His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the best of character, the best of akhlaq. And he taught the Sahaba that. So he took care of elements. I mean, no one, by the way, in the world was able to and read the great, you know, autobiography of Malcolm X. In it, you're going to see that section where he talks about this. One of the most attractive and most compelling arguments that someone can present to non-Muslims is the moral code. But if Muslims themselves are not abiding by it, if they're not following it, if we do not represent the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where are people going to find it? Time and again we hear people saying things like, oh, alhamdulillah, I'm glad converts. I'm glad I knew Islam before I got to know Muslims, modern day Muslims. And we laugh about it and say, wallahi, it's sad, it's heartbreaking. That somehow we cannot change something that can be changed. We cannot enhance something that can be enhanced. We cannot transform something because we don't want to. We rather hold on to our traditions and our cultures and our, you know, this is who I am, accept me for who I am. What kind of nonsense is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful is a person who actually changes himself. Becomes a better version of himself, challenges himself and say, listen, yeah, I don't have my culture and my upbringing, maybe even in my personality, I have these weaknesses. I need to learn this and I need to learn that because this is the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the Prophet is teaching us. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed some of these issues with his companions, the munafiqeen didn't obviously accept and they challenged. But the sincere sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, they said, teach us, Messenger of Allah. Teach us akhlaq and manners. He taught them how to eat. He taught them how to clean themselves. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were fine with it. They were humble enough. They were committed enough. They were courageous enough, radiallahu anhum, to change themselves. They didn't shy away. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Umar, he didn't say, what do you mean that I have to treat women this way and that way? Yes. He said, kunna la nu'uddu nisa'a shay'an. Before Islam, before the Quran came, we didn't regard women to be anything. We had no respect for them whatsoever. They were properties. حَتَّى ذَكَرَهُنَّ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran and mentioned their rights. And then we started questioning the way we used to treat them. That was a huge, massive cultural change. And they had to do it. Why? Because it came from Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet himself was a manifestation of that. He led by example. His nine wives, not a single one of them, not a single one of his nine wives, different age groups. Not a single one of them, when Allah gave them the option to leave him and have unlimited access to resources and wealth, not a single one of them thought about it or considered it. Afika akhtaru ya Rasulallah. The youngest, Aisha, the Prophet ﷺ told her, Aisha, Allah told me, He instructed me to give you the option to leave this marriage. Get out of this marriage. If you're in it against your will, if you feel oppressed, if you want more wealth. And they were promised unlimited amount of wealth. فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. And not only that, they knew that if the Prophet ﷺ was to release them, men would line up at their doors. Because who doesn't want to, as disgusting as it sounds, they will have better opportunities. But not a single one of them. Why? Because of the way he sallallahu alayhi wasallam treated them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the best model for masculinity, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Afika akhtaru ya Rasulullah. Go consult your parents. How could I, a messenger of Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a great example. So the Sahaba followed that example. And they had to adjust and they had to change. Same thing with every single moral issue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed, many of which, by the way, were addressed in the very early stages. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very clear when it comes to theology, when it comes to creed, tawheed. It's very clear. You had to know what you're signing up for when you accepted Islam. In the early days of Mecca, same thing with morality and ethics. These are our ethics. These are our moral standards. Are we ready to commit to this? And when the Prophet ﷺ found people, some people needed some time to change and transform, the Prophet ﷺ worked on them. And when he told, and I'll conclude with this example because we're running out of time, when he told one of his Sahaba, Ya Badr, innaka mru'un fika jahiliyyah, you still have remnants of ignorance, of jahiliyyah left in you. You need to get rid of that prejudice that you have, and that racism that you have, and that culturalism that you have, and that tribalism that you have. What's wrong with you? How could you look at someone, عَيَّرْتَهُ بِأُمِّهِ, how could you look at someone and then shame him for his mother's skin color? How could he do that? That's jahiliyyah. And that was enough for Abu Dharr to consider to change himself. I say this and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make you and I of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us our sins. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه ويغفر لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله. وَصَلَّتُ وَسَلَامُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَمَوَالَهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought this beautiful religion and this amazing system that came for to ensure social welfare. And advocated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the support of those who are in need. Such as through the zakah system or the sadaqah system, and even to go beyond that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a role model when it comes to generosity. Amongst the first words that came out of his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon establishing that first community in Medina, Ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, O people, spread peace. Wa at'imu at'am, and feed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his mission. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his community members, none of you is a true believer if he goes to sleep with a full belly while when he or she, they know that their neighbor is starving. Can't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a mission to ensure liberation from oppression, stand up for justice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message of universal brotherhood and unity. إنما المؤمنون إخوة مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. He taught them how to empathize and how to sympathize and how to care for each other, صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you find yourself lacking in this department, you're not a true representation of the prophetic legacy. You're not someone who is bearing the banner of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And you need to work on yourself. You need to start caring for Muslims locally and abroad, everywhere. Knowledge. We are ummah of knowledge and seeking knowledge and education. We are an ummah of peace. We're here to spread peace, to teach people how to live in peace with themselves, with those around them. We are an ummah that came to establish just leadership and governance. And we'll talk about that, inshaAllah ta'ala, next time, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we send his salutations and his peace and blessings upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal reunite us with him. My dear brothers and sisters, today is we have an opportunity, not an opportunity, but actually an obligation to stand with our brothers and sisters who suffered from the flooding in Bangladesh, inshaAllah ta'ala. So there is emergency flood relief in Bangladesh, and we will, inshallah ta'ala, talk to you about that, inshallah azza wa jal. The goal here is to get as many people as possible, to get them shelters, because many people lost their shelter. And inshallah ta'ala, we count on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, and then on your generosity and your responsiveness, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless each and every single one of you. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استووا استقيموا واعتدلوا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله واتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, we have with us Nabik here to help us, inshallah ta'ala, raise funds. Brother, okay. Go ahead. Inshallah, we'll give you just some update and information as to what it is that we're trying to raise funds for. And inshallah ta'ala, we want everyone's participation. When you provide a shelter, you're talking about not just husband, wife, and children. You're talking about husband, wife, children, grandchildren, grandparents, cousins. So just keep that in mind, inshallah. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Standing here on behalf of Nabik, it's a familiar name in this community. And you all are familiar. Recently, Bangladesh became like a headline for many reasons. And one of the hard reason is the flood. We the different mic. It's working now, right? Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's fine. Okay, I'll speak slowly, maybe it'll be easier, inshallah. So actually we responded quickly to help the people. Over 5 million people are underwater. Like they have need to take shelter. We are providing the cooked food. We're providing the dry food. But the main reality is after standing for a week underwater, the houses need to be restored. We have to cross-check over hundreds and thousands of houses. So I'm here to ask your help, to ask support us building those houses. One house will cost us $2,000. And today I'm asking you all, at least for this community who has been serving, who has been helping us for a long time in different cause, at least stand up and please help us, these poor people, these generous people who can at least go back to their houses. So inshallah today I would ask Sheikh to raise some fund for the building new houses for these poor people.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So you heard the figures. It's going to cost about $2,000 per shelter. And again, think of it as not only providing a shelter for one person, and not just one small family. You're talking about so many people. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. 15, 20 people, inshallah ta'ala. So what we want, inshallah ta'ala, I want at least for us to provide, inshallah, shelter for about 20 families, inshallah ta'ala. That's 20 shelters, 20 times 2, that's 40,000. That's doable, inshallah azza wa jal. So who would like to, inshallah ta'ala, be the first one to cover the cost of how many? One. Takbir. So I'm down to 19. I need 19 more, inshallah ta'ala, hands. Bidhnillahi ta'ala. Again, if you can do half, if you can do 1,000, if you can do 500, that's fine, inshallah ta'ala. But right now I'm looking for individuals that can, inshallah, sponsor the building or the providing one shelter, inshallah ta'ala, or two or more. Anyone else, inshallah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takbir. I'm down to 18. Anyone else? Anyone else? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you with a shelter in this life and in the hereafter. Say ameen. Takbir. May Allah accept your deeds and forgive your sins. I need 17 more, inshallah ta'ala. So far we have three, inshallah ta'ala. Can I need two, at least two. Who? All right, two more, inshallah. The last two. Two more, full. Okay. Who? Takbir. One more. Fi sabilillah. Remember, there isn't a sadaqah. You know, sometimes people have to know where it's going. No, don't even worry about where it's going. Inshallah ta'ala, you will find it on the day of judgment. You will know exactly who it went to, who benefited from it. And this is, you can think of it as sadaqa jariya, because it's there to stay. This is not something that someone is going to consume and get it over and done with. This is sadaqa jariya for as long as that shelter is providing. For as long as that shelter stands and someone is benefiting from it, you're getting the reward. So one more, inshallah ta'ala, one more person. At least one more. Okay. Can we get 10 people, inshallah, to do half? Meaning 1,000. 1,000. One. Takbir. May Allah accept from you. I need 9 more. Two. Takbir. May Allah bless you. Three. I need 7 more. 7. 1,000. So you and someone else will partner, inshallah, in providing one full shelter for a family. That's 4. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. That's 5. I need 5 more. Now we have 2.5 shelters, basically. So we can't do that. We can't do halves. Anyone else? May Allah bless you and accept from you. Takbir. I need, inshallah ta'ala, 4 more. Meaning 2 more shelters sponsored by 4 members, inshallah, of our blessed community. 1,000 each. Can I have at least 2 more? 2 individuals, 1,000 each, inshallah? 2, 1,000 each? No? Tayyib. Can I get at least those 2 housings to be provided by 4 people? Sah? 4 each. That's 8. I need 8 people with 500 each. 8. 500 each. Okay. 1. I need 3 more. We have a quarter of a shelter. Now we have half a shelter. We can't do that. So I need 2 more people, 500 each. You give 500, someone else gives 500, inshallah ta'ala, you'll get the reward of that. I need 1 more person, inshallah, with 500. One last. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. Now whatever you can provide, whether you can do 100, 200, 300, it will all add up, inshallah ta'ala. Every 2,000, inshallah, will ensure that we provide a shelter for a family, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah accept from you. May Allah forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease all of our struggles and hardships. And if you, again, you know someone that can take advantage of this, please do not hesitate to actually introduce them to this. Okay, and there are tables on both sides that can provide any extra, like any information that you need, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, regarding this effort. May Allah accept from our brothers and sisters at NABIC their effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for it, inshallah ta'ala. Again, it's great to have someone that will do something on your behalf, and all you have to do is conveniently just hand them the funds. You'll get the reward for it regardless, and then the responsibility is on them, inshallah ta'ala, and they have an amazing record when it comes to doing these kind of works. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.